So some of you know this. I'm kind of an excitable guy. That was an opportunity for laughter. We'll work on this as we go along. I've been hanging out at this church now for coming up on 2 years. In October, it'll be 2 years. And I have had the opportunity to interact with a bunch of you guys. And lately, particularly over the last few months, there seems to be this sense from so many of us that something great's going on here. That there has been a time, and for many of you, you've been around for years, there has been a time where it was kind of felt like wandering in the desert. And the Lord has kind of brought us to a place where we're entering some sort of a promised land, in a sense. And there's some kind of amazing work on the horizon that God wants to do, and he wants to use us to do it. And I got to tell you, as somebody who came in basically at the end of what was and at the beginning of what is, what a joy for me. I'm just super excited because I get to be here for the fun part. I'm just being honest with you. I get to be here for the fun part. Some of you know Doug Bridges. Doug Bridges was here during VBS, obviously, and the Bridges family is super involved in that. And Doug was up in my office, and he was laying on my couch, and he doesn't know I'm telling this story, so don't tell him, okay? Shh. Again, another opportunity. Never mind. So he's laying on my couch during VBS, and he's basically come up there because he's tired, right? And he just needs to lay down for a minute and kind of take a breath. Sometimes I need to do that. So he's laying on my couch, and he goes, "So Chris, tell me what's going on with you." And so I just sharing some things that were going on in the ministry and my personal life and my family and different things. And he goes, "Does it seem to you like the church has kind of got something going on?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it does. I mean, we just had come off of Epic Midnight Madness where we had, you know, in excess of 100 young people in here terrorizing the church, having a great time for Jesus. And we had a handful of kids that it wasn't even our goal. This was not an outreach event. This was just for fun. The purpose was fun. And yet we still had a handful of young people who said, you know what? I want to leave my life of sin and I want to follow Jesus." And it was an amazing opportunity. It was just such a beautiful thing. And I got all excited about it. And so we're talking back and forth. And it was like day three of VBS. And we had already seen like 20-some kids say, I wanna follow Jesus too. And VBS was going on. And he goes, "Chris, I've been here a long time. I've seen what's come and gone around this place. And I got to tell you, I'm excited about it." And I said, "Good. I'm excited too," you know? So we're just having this conversation back and forth, and it's like there's this sense of momentum that the church is carrying, and it's just so exciting to be around. It's infectious. I hope you guys can get that sense, that it's infectious in a good way, right? We're not going to go to the hospital. We are the hospital, amen? So this is all going on, and then VBS comes to a conclusion, and at VBS we averaged 170 kids a night. I mean, it's just phenomenal. I'm just like staggered in awe at what God's doing in our midst. I mean, these young kids, they're just running around having a good time, and all of a sudden somebody says, "Anybody in the group want to know Jesus?" And they, like, half of them go, "I do." And you're just like, "Yes! Praise God!" And they go back there and they pray, and you know, they get a Bible and things, and it's just so exciting. I'll calm down. She's right, I won't. Turns out during VBS, 1 week, 91 kids decided that they want to live for Jesus. Can we clap for that? I mean, praise God, right? And that's not all, right? We've also got Man Day, 100 men, over 100 men showed up for Man Day, a lot of whom don't have a church home, many of whom don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but they came and they had a good time. And just by being in proximity, this is one of Pastor Gary's things that he's taught me so well, by being in proximity to people who don't know Jesus, we have an opportunity to share Jesus, right? So, this is just me thinking out loud here, but this is just the beginning, right? God's just getting warmed up. He's got such a great love for Lake County. He's got such a passion that he's birthed in so many of our hearts that's just burning and churning. And we're excited about the future. We're excited about Pastor Gary. We talk all the time, and he says, Chris, we want to make it hard to go to hell in Lake County. And I say, amen. Right? It ought to be hard to go to hell in Lake County. You ought to have to walk down the street and walk around Jesus if you don't want to know him. It shouldn't be one of those things where you can grow up and live and die in Lake County and never have an experience with the Holy God. We should make it hard to go to hell in Lake County. That's one of the things that God has called us to do. It's a purpose that he's birthed in us from the beginning. It was his intent. Like Pastor Gary says, if he didn't intend us to do that, oh, I'm preaching now. If he didn't intend us to do that, when we got saved, we would have just gone straight to heaven. Right? Because what else on earth are we here for? I'm glad you think that's funny. Makes me happy inside. So, here we are. At this place, in this time, with these people doing this work. And we can't do it without you. We cannot do it without you. I'm getting ahead of myself. But let's look to the Word of God and see what Jesus wants from us. See what he expects from us. He says, starting in verse 20, and we'll read a little bit here of the Word of God, I do not ask on behalf of those alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's us. We talked about that. That they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Well, that's like a chocolate verse, right? You just want to put that in your mouth and just let it sit there and coat your tongue because it just tastes good. It just tastes good. We have unity in the Spirit, right? And the purpose of the unity is that the world may believe. I love that. Let's move on. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I read this passage, I don't know how many times, and I read it, and I read it, and I read it, and then all of a sudden it dawned on me, and I went, wait a minute, what did he just say? Wait, let's read that again, because that's what? He just said, the glory which you have given me, I have given them. What? Time out. Like, there's a whole bunch of things in Scripture that I'm a little unclear about, right? And for one of them, for me, and maybe I'm just speaking for my own self, but this idea that we are adopted as sons of God and daughters of God, that we are co-heirs with Christ, it just stuns me. I'm flabbergasted when I read that, even today, and I've read it a bunch of times. Like, we are co-heirs. Are you kidding me? Co-heirs with Christ? Like, God, do you know me at all that you want to share what you have with me? Seriously? Co-heirs with Christ? Anyway, I won't go off on that tangent. But this one also, like, stopped me in my tracks. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Time out, God. The glory that you as a father gave to your son, he's sharing with us? Are you kidding me? We get to share in Jesus' glory? If God wasn't God, like if he was just a person, I'd be thinking that he was a few bricks short of a building. You know what I mean? Like, and God, don't strike me down, right? But why would he allow Jesus to share his glory with us? I don't know about you, but I don't feel worthy of new shoes, let alone Jesus' glory. I'm just a little mystified by what God has in store for us. So I did a little study on this because I was just out of my mind. Like, Jesus is sharing his glory. I do not understand. So I did a little study. Like, okay, God, what are you trying to say to me? What is going on here? And so glory could mean... Anybody else curious about what he's talking about? Is it just me? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'll just move on. Maybe there's a couple people in here that seem sort of curious. Like, so I don't know exactly what it means, but I'll tell you what I think because I get paid to speculate. That's my job. Thank you. Here's what glory is out of the dictionary. Glory is honor, magnificence, beauty, or a distinctiveness. It means that somehow we've been clothed with Christ. Amen? We've been clothed with Christ, and I still don't get it. Like, what does that mean exactly? And so for me, there's this spiritual realm that we're all aware of, right? We know that even in Revelation, it talks about how there was a fight between the archangel and Satan, and there was some fight, and Satan cast the archangel out of heaven. Or no, the other way around. My bad. Take that home and fix it and bring it back next week. So there was a fight in heaven amongst spirits, right? Amongst the heavenlies. And we know that there is this whole spiritual realm going on with angels and demons that we're not entirely aware of. So I'm thinking in my head, maybe that's what Jesus is talking about. Maybe the glory that he's talking about here is somehow he has given us in our spirit a glory that we can't necessarily see with our eyes. I'm just speculating. Really, I'm serious. I really don't know. But that's one of the things that I thought. Maybe that's what's going on here. Maybe it's that. And then I thought about, wait, with my eyes. They say the eyes are the window to the soul, right? Anybody ever heard of that? Maybe it's just me. Okay, five people have. The eyes are the window to the soul. Okay, so if the eyes are the window to the soul, then that means that in the depths of our soul, there's something going on in us that God has done, that he birthed in our hearts, that is coming to pass in our spirit. And we can see it in each other's eyes. Oh, all of a sudden, that maybe kind of made sense to me, right? Because we're three parts, like God's three parts. And there's some part of us that we don't really understand. I mean, we claim to understand our spirit, but I'm going to be frank with you. I don't really know what my spirit is. I mean, I have some understanding, and I know I pray in my spirit, and I have a connection with God in my spirit. And during my quiet time, I try to say, okay, God, like on a telephone, I dial up, and I wait for him to answer. All right, God, I'm waiting to connect with you before I even begin to talk. I'm waiting for that sense in my spirit to be connected with you. Before I even begin to pray, I want to make sure that we have a clear connection. That if you're talking, I'm hearing it. And that when my sad, pitiful little prayers are going up, at least they're getting to you. Right? So maybe there's something in there with this glory piece that says, Jesus' glory has been pushed within us in our spirits, but we can get a sense of it by looking at each other in the eyes. And that began to make sense to me, and I don't know if it makes sense to you, but let's look at what he said. The glory with which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. He not only says, I'm going to give it to you, but I'm going to tell you why I gave it to you. Because I want you guys to have a sense of unity. Of oneness. I'm intentionally giving you this glory so that you can be one. So I was thinking about that. Okay, how does this all fit together? It's like a big jigsaw puzzle. I used to be a math teacher, and so to me it's like, okay, if I could figure out how the formula goes, then I can figure out what the conclusion is and how I ought to get there. Forgive me. I'm still a little, oh good, he put my water up here. I'm still a little dry-throated, so forgive me one moment. If I can understand the purpose, then maybe I can get to the product. Maybe I can understand what God's called me to do. So he says, I've given you my glory. Okay. I'm just going to set aside for a moment the idea that he's given me his glory, because I still don't get that. Like, God, that's your glory. And there ain't no way I could handle it, right? Moses couldn't even take being in the presence of God for a little while without radiating. And he radiated so much that he had to put a veil on his face, right? Because the rest of the people were freaked out at Moses. So if we had a sense of that we actually had God's glory, can you imagine this? We wouldn't even need lights, right? We would all just be glowing. So there's something going on here, but I think it's something going on in the spirit. And here's what I know. When I see somebody who's searching for God, I can tell it in their eyes. Right? Nod your heads if you've experienced this in your own lives. You've had an interaction with somebody. You've had a conversation with somebody. You've talked to them. And you can see, like, they're questioning. You can almost see, like, the gears turning in their heads. Right? And you know, this person is searching. They're seeking. There's something that they're after, and they don't know where to find it. And God, give me what it takes to be the answer for that. Let me be Jesus right here and now for this person. Right? Anybody else experience that, or is it just me? Some of you, like, not knowing what I'm talking about. The other thing that I see is when I'm interacting with somebody else who's got, like, some kind of, like Ezekiel said, there's a fire that burns in my bones, and even if I want to hold it in, I cannot. It's coming out, right? And you can see that in people's eyes, too, right? Like, there's some kind of fire in their heart, and it's burning hot, and they are all excited about what God's doing in their lives, and they can't help but share about it, right? You want to talk about shoveling a ditch, no problem, we'll talk about it, but eventually it's going to come back to Jesus. Right? You want to talk about school? No problem. But eventually it's going to come back to Jesus. Right? You want to talk about the career advancement you got going on? That's fantastic. Praise Jesus. It's always going to come back around. Right? It doesn't matter who you're talking to. But there's some kind of fire in their eyes and you can see it. You can see it. Well, for me, I think that's what Jesus is talking about. I have given you my glory. There is some sense that within us, the Holy God resides. Amen? There's a Holy God living within us. And we can sense it in the Spirit because we can sense Jesus' glory in one another. Similarly, I think to a certain extent, we can sense a lack of Jesus' glory in some people who haven't yet made him Lord. So we can be one. That's the whole purpose. So we can be one. He definitely wants us to be one body. In fact, Ephesians chapter 4, I have it on a slide. Ephesians chapter 4 says this. Oh, glory. There is one body and one spirit, just as also you were called to one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I don't know if you're catching on to a theme here. There's a oneness that he anticipates us having. It's a unity. In fact, if you look up unity, it's from the Latin, and it comes from the same word as one. Like, we are many parts, but we are one body. And I got to tell you, I'm going to get ahead of myself again. There are some arms around here that need to be moved because the elbow is sitting and it needs to be working. I don't know if you're the elbow or not, but if you're the elbow, I'm calling you out. Get to work. That was funny. So we are glorified by Jesus that we may be one. Let's check out verse 23 real quick. It says, I in them and you in me, that they may be in perfect unity. Unity, unity, unity. It's all over the map. Jesus is saying the same thing over and over again. Just to drive it home, I'm going to show you a quick video. Don't go to sleep during the movie. It's good, I promise. If we can get some lights flipped and we'll watch a quick clip. Ready, set, go.
Anybody know what this place is? This is Gettysburg. This is where they fought the Battle of Gettysburg. 50,000 men died right here on this field, fighting the same fight that we're still fighting amongst ourselves today. This green field right here, painted red, bubbling with the blood of young boys. Smoke and hot lead going right through their bodies. Listen to their souls, man. I killed my brother with malice in my heart. Hatred destroyed my family. You listen. You take a lesson from the dead. If we don't come together right now on this hollow ground, we too will be destroyed. Just like they were. I don't care if you like each other or not, but you will respect each other. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men. Hey!
We don't come together, we'll be, even Jesus said this so many ways, right? He said this again. He said when talking about Satan and his demons, he said, a house divided cannot stand, right? This is not new. This is an old message. This is a well-worn message. When I spilled water on my pants. Everybody say, oh, I feel sad inside. When I went to Spirit West Coast, I had an opportunity to go and hear a speaker, and he was speaking directly to youth pastors, and he said this. He said, when you get to the end of your days and people come to your funeral, what will they say about you? I thought about that a bit. He said, in essence, I'm asking you, what's your life message? And I thought about that again, and I prayed about it a bit, and it was so clear to me. My life message is family. My life message is family. If I get to the end of my days and I have a funeral like the one we experienced here a few weeks ago with people all over the place, I want people to come up here and say, Chris loved his family, and he put them first. But Chris loved his extended family too. He loved the church. And his message to the church was this: be one. I tell my students all the time, you walk through those doors into this place, this is a safe place. This is a place where you come, nobody's going to stab you in the back here because we love each other. We're going to speak kind words to each other here because we love each other. I don't care if that person is now dating your ex-boyfriend, you're going to be nice to her. You know why? We love each other here. It doesn't matter. I don't care what they said about you on the internet. I don't care if they stole your gym shorts. When you're in this place, we love each other here. We are good to each other. We forgive each other. We have a unity of the spirit and the bond of peace in this place. That's my life message. And it, you know, it's not by accident that Pastor Gary would ask me to give this message to you, because I believe it with every cell in my being. If we're going to do anything great for the kingdom of God, we have to be united in this house. We have to be one church. Amen? One church. One body. One group. All pulling together. There's got to be unity in this house. That's what he said. Benjamin Franklin knew the words were true also. At the signing of the Declaration of Independence, some of you guys have this memorized, right? He said, gentlemen, we must all hang together, or surely we'll all hang separately. Right? If we aren't one, speaking with one voice, moving with one motion, all together, then we're just flapping our wings, but we aren't flying. We're paddling the boat, but it's not going anywhere. We're like Scooby-Doo running in place. So let's see what's going on here. Verse 23, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. A bit ago I said, we are in need. I am not going to deny it. We are in need. There's a statistic that churches around the United States talk about all the time. They say, 80% of the work gets done by 20% of the people. You got a handful of people that they work the same hours everybody else works. They got the same family responsibilities everybody else has. They have the same issues, the same problems, the same upside downness in their mortgage, the same worry about their job, and yet they show up to stuff all the time. They show up and they serve and they give. Pastor Gary says, time, talent, and treasure. God wants your time, your talent, and your treasure. And even as Mikey said when we were praying, we don't need your money. God doesn't need your money, right? God has cattle on 1,000 hills. If he needs to give us money, he'll give us money. It's not about that. It's about equal sacrifice, like Jesus illustrated with the widow who gave just the one coin. It's about equal sacrifice, time, talent, and treasure. Some of you guys have time, talent, and treasure in this place, and it's untapped. And here's what the call is. The call is to use the gifts God's given you for his glory. If he was willing to share his glory with us, don't you think we ought to be willing to share our glory, whatever limited glory we have, back with him? Time, talent, and treasure. If you're really good at accounting, we need help in accounting. I'm just saying. If you're really good at trimming bushes, we need help trimming bushes. If you're really good at fixing computers, we need help fixing computers. If you're really good at counseling people, we need people who are good at counseling people. There are people in this county that are broken that need somebody to talk to. If you're really good at working with little children, and many of you, these seats are all empty because there's people all around this place working with little children, get involved in Sunday school. Help plan our next Halloween event. Because if we don't, the world will. And they'll have all kinds of nastiness waiting for our kids, waiting for the neighborhood kids, waiting for the kids in this town. Get involved. I'm telling you right now, there are arms that need to be moved and there are elbows that are sitting down. Time, talent, and treasure. If you're really good at working with youth, I don't know who you should talk to about that. There's somebody around here that could probably use your help. I'm teasing. We're going to be launching a program in the fall, a small groups program. And the idea is this. For every 5 young people, I want 1 adult. For every 5 young people, I want 1 adult. And I want 1 adult that will interact with young people. It doesn't take 20 hours a week. Probably takes between 2 and 3 hours a week. You have to commit. You have to kind of learn something. And then you have to be willing to share it. It's one-on-one contact with a young person. It's an opportunity for people who are young to have an interaction with an adult that isn't their parents, that can speak truth and God's love into their lives. I'll tell you a quick story. I'm running out of time. I'm going to land the plane, I promise. Quick story. I was at a conference in Chicago, and the speaker had one of his adult leaders, volunteers with him at the conference in Chicago, and he was talking to him, and he was in the back of the room, and he said, Jerry, how long have you been a youth leader with me? About 11 years. Wow, you've been with me 11 years? Yeah, I've been with you 11 years. So how many small groups have you led in 11 years? 11. Pretty easy math, right? One small group a year. I've been leading small groups the whole time. Okay, in 11 small groups, how many young people have you made connection with? He thinks about it for a minute, and he says, probably 15. And I'm thinking, wow, that's really bad. 15, 11 years, you've only connected with 15 kids. And then he starts talking about these 15 kids. He says, those 15 kids, I was at their wedding. When their children were born, I was there. When they experienced loss in their family, I was at the funeral. When they needed somebody to cry on, they'd call me, and I would show up at their house. 15 kids in 11 years. But those 15 kids, they're part of his family now. Some of them are in their 30s and 40s. They got kids of their own that are grown, they're leaving for college, and they're still calling this guy up saying, how do you deal with an empty nest? He's like, let me help you. I'm here to pray with you. I'm not asking you to give everything. I'm just asking for equal sacrifice, right? Equal sacrifice. Some of you have great things to give to this body of believers. Great things. Things that are going to make it hard to go to hell in Lake County. And that's what we need. We need to be one church, one body, working together, unified. Let's move on. Excuse me. So, I don't even know where I am. I lost my place. Lord, help me. It says in verse 21, that they may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Praise Jesus. We're going to have an opportunity to celebrate communion together. What a perfect picture of unity. One faith, one body, one act, celebrating Jesus' sacrifice for us together. This ought to be such a unifying experience. We're eating the same flesh of Christ. We're drinking the same blood. We're sharing the same experiences. We have the same faith. We serve the same Jesus. We have one Lord, one God, one King of all.